November here on this stage, and we went into lockdown straight afterwards. I'm just hoping that's not going to happen again this time. So the verse I've chosen is, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I came down this morning, want to get ready and prepared, walked in and came down to make my wife a cup of tea as a dutiful husband. I came, walked into the kitchen, the dog had made a mess everywhere, and I was thinking, is this what life is like? This is life to the full when your dog has, I won't go into detail, you don't want to know. The reason I've chosen this verse, not this verse that's been with me for a long time, but it's a verse that's spoken to me recently, and the reason is, and you'll think this is a bit odd, to do with unanswered prayer. And it's to do with this book, and I will go into that in more detail in a bit. Let's hope this clicker works. Yeah, it's on. So the full verse is from John 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's the words of Jesus. He says that he's come to give us life to the full. There's another version of this verse, King James verse. I've come that they may have life and they might have it more abundantly. Abundantly. So we're meant to have abundant life. Now, I struggle with this sometimes because some Christians and some churches have taken this a little bit too far, and there's a thing called the prosperity gospel, where if you give to God, he's going to give you abundantly, and you're going to have this, you're going to have that, and he's going to give you ultimate wealth. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't seen many private jets or Rolls Royces or helicopters outside bringing people into church this morning. In fact, I'm not sure the church lawn's big enough for a private helicopter. So I do have a little bit of issue with this, but some people take a verse sometimes and take it too far and build the whole gospel, the whole theology on one verse. And Apostle Paul said, the love of money is the root of all evil. So if we love money, then we're, it's not a good place to be. And I look at my Bible and I think, how many people in my Bible were wealthy? Well, there's lots of people. Obviously, look at King David, look at Abraham, look at Solomon. But look at the early Christians. Were they wealthy? They were persecuted, they were thrown into prison, they were killed for their faith. So it's abundant life. I'm thinking, what is life to the full? What is abundant life? And you might say to me, well, but doesn't God promise if we give to him, he'll give us back to us? And that is true. We are meant to give. We are meant to give of ourselves, of our money, to the church, to the poor, to our friends, to our family. That's a good thing. And in Luke 6, verse 38 says, give and it will be given back to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you give, it will be, so with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So God does promise to give us when we give to him, but not so we can get a bigger bucket to keep it all in. We're meant to kind of give to God, so he gives back to us, and we can give out to him. So that's where I think abundant life is, giving out what God gives to us. But I digress. So I want to come back to the original translation that I've got from the NIV. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. What does that mean? Well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So true life, we can't have it unless we've got Jesus in our lives. That's the only way that we can have life, is by knowing him. Some people seek life and abundance elsewhere. And in fact, our society is built on that, isn't it? We have a capitalist society where we're built on getting on, getting rich, getting big cars, getting big houses. But Jesus says that isn't real life. That is not real life. And it's no real life unless you've got me in your life. We can only experience true life and life to the full as we follow him and become more like him. Paul says in Romans 8:29, this is good news, God's plan is always for us to become more like him. He says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be his firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So we're all a work in progress. We're not there yet, but his ultimate plan is for us to become more like him. And that's an amazing thing to contemplate. But what it's got to do with unanswered prayer? In our Faith Street Fellowship group, some of you were here this morning, we went through the Prayer 2 course earlier this year. It's an online video course by a group called 24/7 Prayer, Pete Gregg and his team. Excellent course, but boy, is it difficult. Boy, was it difficult to go through as a group. And there were many emotions, I think, shared in that group as we went through the course. Because we've all had times when God seems to be silent and we haven't heard an answer to a prayer. We're going through difficulties and we don't have answers. And we all know of situations in the last 12, 18 months where you think, God, where have you been? Why haven't you answered? Why haven't you answered that prayer? I think particularly of our lovely Debbie, who was part of our group earlier on. And she was an amazing lady, partaking, even when she was poorly, partaking in our online Zoom fellowship, giving her valuable and godly insights to us. The course was very emotional. It told lots of stories about people who'd been through dark and difficult times, but how God had brought them through. This particular book is by a guy called Alain Emerson. He's a member of the 24/7 Prayer. He's the national director of 24/7 Prayer, and he's a pastor at Emmanuel Church in Northern Ireland. Ali bought me this book, because it's one of the books, stories they mentioned during the course, and Ali bought me this book, I think it's for our anniversary early on in the year. And apart from the Bible, of course, this book has really changed my thinking about lots of things, and I just wanted to share a couple of insights that's brought for me. The book's called Luminous Dark. And the author, Alain Emerson, he was a godly man, following God, doing what God wants him to do. He lost his wife to a brain tumor less than 2 years after being married at the age of 23. He had to wrestle with God through very dark and difficult times. And he talks about that with great honesty in his book. Luminous Dark. I love the title because some of you might know, I have real trouble seeing in the dark. I have to take a torch with me everywhere. I have an eye condition, which means I have very poor peripheral vision and night blindness. And so I was sharing on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, it's 20 years since I was diagnosed with my eye condition. And when you get a diagnosis of something, you Google and you look for the worst, think, oh, that's going to be the worst thing for me. So I thought I was going to be blind by the time I was 40 or 50. I'm now 55. I know I don't look that old, but so 20 years ago I was diagnosed with this eye condition, and to be honest, that was a very difficult time in my life. I was off work for 4 weeks. I was on antidepressants. I didn't know what I was going to do, whether I could carry on working. I was told not to drive. I didn't think I'd have a job again. I didn't think I'd see my kids grow up. So when we talk about difficult times, I know that, and God is faithful. God sees us through the dark and difficult times. That's why I love the title, Luminous Dark. When we're going through dark times, he lights the way. Even when it feels really difficult and dark and difficult to go on, God will shine a small light to help us to get us through. And as I shared on Facebook, last year, when I got diagnosed, I thought I'd never get my children through, see them grow up, see them get on. And last year was our youngest son, Jack, three of them all got through university. So God has been really, really faithful, and I've stayed in work. He's been very good to me. But I digress. This book has really changed and challenged me, and I'll explain why. Bear with me. So what is life to the full? If we're talking about a life like Jesus, with Jesus living with us, us walking with Jesus, isn't a life like Jesus going to be full of joy? Going to be full of miracles? But as Elaine says in his book, wasn't his life also marked by suffering as well as joy? Wouldn't a life like his be full of struggles sometimes, some disappointments and pain? Jesus had his fair share of suffering. He didn't always live an abundant life as we might see it in today's society. He died on a cross in the place of a criminal. He suffered betrayal from one of his best friends. He suffered excruciating agony and pain. He experienced the true highs and lows of a life of as a human being on planet Earth. His life was a life to the full extremes. So when we experience suffering, difficulties, it's not that our life isn't full. Maybe it's the fact that we're actually following in his footsteps. Maybe we are following in the footsteps of Jesus. I just want to read a couple of chapters, a couple of sections from this book that Elaine wrote. Pursuing happiness alone is a poor substitute. Jesus is inviting us into the reality of being alive, fully alive through all the seasons of life. He is inviting us to know his very life, to carry life and to overflow with this kind of life into the world. Following Jesus is a life of the highest highs and the deepest depths, the extremes of God's heart pulsing in a fully surrendered human being. To share the heart of God, both the joy and the pain, is a deep and holy privilege. To know Jesus is to know life, his life. This means the awesome privilege of knowing his resurrection and his suffering. Paul said in Philippians 3 verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. So if you're experiencing pain and sadness and you are sharing in his suffering, he knows, he identifies with you. He knows exactly what you are going through because he has been through it all already. And God, I know that God weeps with us, and he's the first, when we experience sadness and pain, we may not see it or hear it, but God weeps with us. He knows what we are going through. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 to 10, Paul writes this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. So we, as we walk around as Christians, we are identifying with his death because we know that his death brought us life, his death for our sins, so that we could live again and have a right relationship with him. So we're carrying this around all the time so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body and shown to the world. When Jesus was with Mary and Martha and Lazarus had died, He said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? So this life isn't all there is. Jesus promises eternal life, a life with God forever and forever and forever. Now, isn't that a life to the full, an eternity with the one who loves us more than we can ever understand or ever know? But you might say to me, but I'm struggling. I'm finding it difficult. And I get that. There are times when we go through things in our lives and it seems incomprehensible and to understand what is going on. Matthew 5, verse 3 from the Message, it says this. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. Sometimes we come to the end of ourselves and we can't do anything more except rely on God. And that's the time when there's space for him to come in and to move and to change our hearts, to help us to realize and refocus and to realize that he is with us through those difficult times. Elaine came to that place where he knew God was with him and for him and changing him from the inside out. He was in his pain, in his suffering, he was finding God's heart. And I want to share, towards the end of the book, I just want to share these. He shared a verse from Psalm 66. I'll read more than that's on the screen here. "For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance." You brought us to a place of abundance. And that's what God wants for us. Even when we're struggling, we feel like there's no way out. He's promising us at the end there is going to be a place of abundance for us. He has come that we might have life. We might experience difficult times, but he has come that we might have life and life to the full. Okay, I'm just going to pray before we move on to another time of worship. Lord, let's just pray. Lord, we thank you that you promised to give us life to the full. Sometimes it doesn't seem like that. Sometimes it seems like things aren't going the way they were meant to go. And we can look and we can compare ourselves to other people and saying, look, they've got an abundant life. They're doing all right. What about me? We may think, God, where are you in this situation? Where are you in this circumstance? Lord, you promised to be with us through the fire and through the flood. Through the deepest valleys, you promised to bring us up out onto the mountain again. It may not be immediately, it may not be tomorrow, but Lord, you're always working in our lives. And we just thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. And Lord, for any of us here this morning who are struggling and thinking, God, where are you? Lord, I ask that you bring hope. Lord, I ask that you bring joy even in the midst of deep distress and sadness. That, Lord, that we will truly know what it is to have the joy of the Lord and not a joy in our circumstances, a joy in you rather than a joy in things and material things. Lord, for those of us whose hearts are breaking, Lord, I ask that you mend broken hearts this morning, Lord. I ask that you come and move amongst us, Lord. Touch us. Speak to us. Holy Spirit, will you just come and have your way amongst us, Lord, this morning? Will you come and show us what it truly means to be a disciple of Jesus, to live a life to the full, to have his life living inside of us, that we may go and share that life with those around us? We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, for being with us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.